Right? All the time. God is good. All right, there we go. All right. We'll get there someday, I think. Maybe. Really quick, a couple of announcements. Tonight, you don't want to miss out on tonight. We have an awesome program. It is, we're doing some carols, and we have a kids program at 6 o'clock. You don't want to miss it, all right? First off, kids programs are the best, right? I honestly believe it, and as a youth pastor, I remember sitting with my teens and going, which one do you think it will be? Looking up there going, which one do you think it will be? I love it. I love, you just don't know what's going to happen on stage, right? And I love their hearts. That, you know, God, Christ said, don't stand in the way of little ones, right? They are so important. And this is our future. This is where we get to invest in them and love on them and celebrate them while they celebrate Jesus this evening. Come. Be a part of it. Come and sing with your hearts, ready to just be full of joy, all right? So be here for that. Also, Christmas Eve from 5 to 8, we are doing a drop-in service. It is one of those between 5 and 8, just come. For you and your family to have communion that night. And what you'll do is just come. We'll bring you to the altar. And we'll pray, and then we'll have communion, and you can stay as long as you want praying with your family, and then you head out. But it is a moment for you to realize during this season what the real gift is that night, and start that process for Christmas to get your hearts to a point like we open these gifts in remembrance of the original gift of Christmas, Jesus, right? And that night, Christmas Eve, that's going to be our focus when we do communion. Understanding that, seeing that, being a part of that. So you don't have to schedule a time. You'll come, right? And when you feel ready, when you're sitting in the pews here, these seats here, when you're ready to come up and pray, I'll minister the communion, the elements to you, and I'll pray with you, and then you get to have a special time. Right? You and God and your family. Just personal note, I would go to Onley, Illinois to see both sets of my grandparents for Christmas. And they had a Methodist church that my grandparents went to. And they did that. And the impact that my grandpa and grandma had on me during that time was huge. Seeing my grandpa pray in a fashion that was humbling. And focusing our family as a whole to say, hey, this is about Jesus, not the gifts back at home. For an anxious boy ready to get back to their house and open gifts every time, it helped me focus, realizing what the real gift of this season is, right? So I implore you, if you're by yourself, come. You know, this is a chance to just be you and God, and a refocusing through all the busyness, all the making of the dinners, all that comes with Christmas, to refocus and spend time with Jesus. All right? So that's Christmas Eve, 5 to 8. All right? Tonight, 6 o'clock, be here. Bring a smile, right? Because this is going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited about tonight. Today, this is the Advent Sunday of joy, and as a parent and as a just the person that God has designed me, I get joy out of certain things that normal people probably don't get joy out of, like picking somebody to do a sermon today, just randomly, saying, "Okay, you guys get to give the sermon," because what Scripture says, "Be ready to give the good news," right? It says that if we're believers, now a lot of you are kind of, oh no, oh no. So, Natalie, come on up. That's right. I'm picking Natalie. She's going to give our message. No, she's not going to give our message. But she's going to read Scripture for us this morning. And just to let you know, we have a lot of Scripture to read this morning. I'm all over the place, right? And what I would say is, if you want to follow along in your Bibles, you're more than welcome. But I also just to implore you to just listen to the words that are spoken today. Let them reside in your hearts and minds today, right? Not just be analytical with it, but let them soak in and take place, to find a home to reside in your heart. That's where we first will discover what joy is, okay? So this is my hope for today, is that first off, we learn what it means to be the gift of joy. And first, it comes with this idea of receiving joy. And what is joy? Now, early on, I would have told you joy is my great aunt who is always happy and super excited to meet and see anybody. She fit her name to a T. Loved my great aunt Joy. She just had one of those laughs that was infectious, and you didn't know what she was laughing about. You just started laughing with her. It was awesome. I loved it. She was just that kind of personality. She never seemed to have any problems or issues that you knew because her heart was filled with her name. It was filled with joy. And if I step back and if I took the time to really invest and ask her what it was all about, why she was always happy and giddy and joyful and had this laugh in her, I didn't have that thought process as a kid to ask her those questions. But I wish I could sit down with her today and go, "What? Where does this come from? Why are you so full of your name? Is it because you've got name, Joy, that you feel like you have to live up to the name?" Right? And it wasn't that. She, from my mother and from my aunt talking to them, had a relationship with God and was, from that point on, infectious with joy. It's a weird word to put with it, right? But when you came across my great aunt, you couldn't help but smile. I wonder for you, if you have people in your life that you like, every time I see them, every time I'm around them, I can't help it. They lift me up. They put a smile on my face, just their presence, right? People in our lives have that, and I praise God for them. Because we got a lot of the others that probably it's the other way around. We come like, oh no. Oh, I know when my wife, you know, knows that I'm coming home, it's that way for her. Oh no. It was so peaceful. Right? We have people in our lives on the other end of the spectrum too. But the reality with joy, man, I it's just one of those things to sit down with them and just walk away going, all right, it's just breakfast and my day is already filled with joy, right? Now, I want to tell you what joy is. It's not necessarily happiness, giddiness. They're the results of joy, right? Joy is an attitude in which God's people are bent towards because God has already infected their heart with the hope of Jesus Christ. You hear that? So the moment that Jesus has full reign of your heart, joy has a seat at the throne with Jesus. And it can't help but exude itself when Jesus is sitting there. All right? So we're going to look at some scripture real quick. Natalie, go for it.
This is Luke 15:10-12. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you.
All right. You hear this? My joy may be in you that your joy may be complete. And if you read on a little bit longer in this, his joy is what? for you to love people and love God. That's where joy resides from the very beginning. This is his number one command, and we've talked about this, but when we talk about it in terms of how it affects our attitude, which our attitude displays the health of our heart. So, think about it in this term. If our attitudes haven't been nice, if they haven't been full of joy, what does this tell you at this point? That maybe we've not been allowing God to sit on that throne of our heart. Right? Let's look at something else here.
Matthew 2:9-10. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed.
All right. Really quick. This is so simple. First off, this is the wise men that Herod sent for a reason. And it wasn't a good reason. This is a king who thought and knew, this baby is going to overthrow me. Has that potential. Sent these men to go and find out where this baby was and bring back the news. And he said, bring the good news back to me so I can know. But it wasn't necessarily good news as in, I'm going to go hunt this baby down. All right? Now, it's so simple. Look, when did they get overjoyed? When they saw the star. And the star was what? Leading them to Jesus. They didn't even see Jesus yet. This is what's awesome about God, that he used a simple star to reveal his presence of how awesome he is. And they were overjoyed at just the sight of this star. They were anxious to get to Jesus. But they weren't anxious until all of a sudden they saw this sign. And what's cool is they get to Jesus, they see the Messiah, and they're moved. And they know if they go back to their king, what was going to happen. And through the Spirit, they decided, oh, we're not going back home. We're going to take a different route so he can't catch us. And we're going to celebrate getting to meet the Messiah as a baby. But what I want to focus on, they were overjoyed just by a sign that Jesus has given us. And I look at this and I think there is many times that God has given us moments that we can look to and go, okay, yes, that is pointing to him. And sometimes we come with this thought of dread because it's a calling for us to go and do something for him. Hence, these guys, the wise guys, the guys that were sent by their king, right? On this mission, and they got this sign, and all of a sudden they're listening to the Spirit, and now they can't listen to their king that's going to, if they disobey, their lives are at stake. But they were overjoyed. And the joy ruled, and so it was more intentional with going, so be it. God's in control. Whatever happens, happens, because I'm here to worship him. And that's all that matters. That's an awesome statement right there. That they decided, okay, what was, where I was sent, the person that I'm employed by, the person that has been taking care of us, the person that has put us in charge of this, I realize has evil intent. And the person that really loves me, who sent his son here for us to be redeemed for us, that is my true calling from now on. And I will give my life for this little baby. They were overjoyed. Let me go to Luke.
Luke chapter 1, verses 43 and 44. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy.
Kind of cool, right? I mean, they're in the womb. I'm never going to experience that, praise Jesus. All right? I've seen my wife experience twice. She loved pregnancy. She loved going through it. And I know there's some ladies, it was not a good time. But every time one of our kids kicked, there's a smile just inadvertently comes. There's joy knowing what's going to happen, what is happening, what we are having a baby. I got to be a part of the creation of this. And there is something to becoming a parent that's frightening, scary, all wrapped up in joy. All wrapped up in joy. And in that moment, you have Elizabeth and Mary. And Elizabeth, baby jumps. And it had to be one that was different from others. It had to be, because they called it out. They were like, okay, calm. Like, I could see her. Hold on, what is going on? Chill. John, relax. And it was just a moment where God is so big. Jesus is so amazing. His presence is so infectious that even through the wombs was changing lives. Even through the wombs, joy was already residing in John's little heart. And was dictating from that point on what kind of kid, what kind of boy, what kind of teenager, what kind of man he was going to be. Read about John the Baptist. And I can only, he was a crazy man. He was crazy because he allowed joy to reside. And no matter what his message was always about Jesus and bringing the message before, and no matter who came to him, whether it was friend or foe, guarantee he was overjoyed spreading the message of Jesus Christ. It was an amazing encounter in the womb. Our God is so big, so amazing, that he can already affect lives before they're even born. Isn't that awesome? It's such a cool thing. Such a cool thing. And I want to give you some hope then. There's people in your lives that still don't have what Jesus has for them. They could be 60, 80, 20. I don't care. If God can do it while they're in the womb, they can do it right now. Lives can be changed right now. And we're going to hear about that in a couple of seconds. Go ahead.
This is 1 Chronicles 16, 26 through 27. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place.
All right. Okay. All right. There's two parts to this. For all the gods of the nations are idols. I want to talk about this for a quick second. And I don't want to get on us, but it is easy for us to put our joy in things that don't care about us. And they're temporary. And they become our idols in our life. Really quick, think about that. What are the things that we allow our joy to be crushed by that are temporary. Right? Cars. It can sit there, right? And it can ruin our day. And I would have you to understand within this thought process here, this scripture right here, is the moment we allow something outside of who God is to dictate our joy is the moment that we put them in the throne that they don't belong. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are his dwelling place. Think about that. When we dwell with God, no matter what we are going through, he is our strength and our joy. So whatever, if a car issue comes up, is he your strength and joy? If a health issue comes up, is he your strength and joy? Again, it's not necessarily meaning you can't be sad. It doesn't mean you can't be frustrated and angry. What it means is, through it all, he reigns. And through it, he is my hope. Right? So what does God, how does God want to use our joy?
Psalms 95, 1 through 2. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Come, let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
All right. I get excited about this because as a kid, I remember sitting in these seats. I remember thinking, I've been to concerts that are Christian concerts. I remember NYC, Nazarene Youth Conference, as a kid. About 6,000 teens in this stadium of Phoenix. And just singing worship songs and being overwhelmed by his presence and how many of these 6,000 teenagers being a choir to God. Excited to be in that. Like no rock was going to out-sing us that night. And I remember coming back from every camp, every NYC that I've been as a teenager and now a volunteer, as a youth pastor, every time I've come back, sitting in these pews, not just these pews, but other pews too, going, all right, are we excited to worship our maker and creator? Are we overwhelmed that nobody should out-sing us this morning? I don't care what the sound is. I don't care what the song is. I don't care any of those things. If the words are up there and our hearts are in line with God, we can't help but give him praise. We can't help but be excited. Last night, I went to an Illini game, and I hate doing these analogies where we need to be cheering louder than a stadium. All right? I really do. But I was sitting in this stadium for the first time in a long time. This stadium was packed. Shoulder to shoulder. And it was crazy. And I don't know if you know this, but there's a chant that they do, I-L-L-I-N-I. Oh my goodness, I could feel it through my chest. How loud they were. How excited they were as a fan base to be back and be cheering on this silly basketball team. I'm not here to make you feel guilty on a Sunday morning about how much we need to be cheerful for and how much our voices need to be raised for Jesus Christ. But this is what I think we need to change in our attitude when it comes to worship. It needs to be one, first and foremost, of a joyful heart to Jesus Christ, no matter what song, no matter what style, no matter how loud, no matter how soft, I don't care what instruments are up here, it is the central focus to worship Jesus. And let it be known to everybody. Because I guarantee the rocks in which Jesus talks about that are singing out louder than us, don't care how it's being sung up here or what's being sung up there. They just care about the one that we're singing to. If joy resides in our heart this morning, whew, we can't contain it. It should be one of those ones where we're shaking out of our shoes ready. Because we understand that God is in our presence right now. Where two or three are together, He is there. Think about that. Our Creator and Maker is sitting right next to you. Invested in your heart, invested in your life. He wants to love you without you giving anything in return. Think about that. There is no other person in our lives that resembles the kind of love that God is giving you right now. All right? And we cannot allow our souls to be contained with our joy because we're afraid of how we're going to sound, how we're going to look, how we're going to be. Because the only audience that we should care about is the one that we're singing to. Okay? That's what this is about. That's what it's about when we come together. God, nobody on stage, nobody, not even me, no. It is not about that. It is all pointing back to our Creator and Maker. All right? So, where do we find this in our salvation? Go for it.
This is Luke 15:7. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent.
You hear that? Do you hear that? So the biggest joy that God has that He wants us to be a part of is what? The redeemed, the one that are lost, the ones that are not here, the ones that are running. Guess what? When you have joy residing in your heart, guess what cannot stop you? Is looking for that one. Looking for the one. Because I guarantee that God is definitely putting that one in your life. And He wants you to be active and participating in the going for that one, to love that one. And let me tell you, nowhere in Scripture does God say, hey, I need you to go and convict that one. Nowhere in Scripture does God say, okay, I need you to go and beat them with the Word of God. What He says is, I need you to love them the way I love them. And that's so tough. Are you willing to give up your kid? Are you willing to give up your life for that one? Because what happens is when we start to have that throne where God sits and resides, guess what? We start to realize this life is not mine. This life is God's. And when I've been reborn, when I've done what God has wanted from me, I start to realize every other life is so important and needs God's love. And I am actively a part of this. And what's awesome is the celebration is so much more in heaven for that one, except for it's the party rocks even more for that one than this morning. That should tell you how important this is. That should tell you that when we have joy in our heart, there's a couple things that are happening. People want to be around you. People want to know the message of why are you joyful in this world where there shouldn't be that much joy. When you're joyful because of what God has done in your life, He's already given you a platform to stand on to share His message. Because people will see it in you. I've quoted this person before. I wish I knew who said it. But, you know, share the gospel. And if you have to use words, use them. Right? What that means right there is this. Your heart tells a lot of people about who you are by the way your attitude reflects it. You understand? If your attitude is one that's stinky, I'm telling you right now, it reflects the part that's not connecting with God. You see, God comes in and he changes our attitude, and our attitude becomes joyful and resembles more of God's love, forgiveness, kindness, mercy, hospitality. All those things start to just register, and we become a different person from what we were, and people will start to notice. And you will start to notice people that God has created. This is the active participation of joy. All right? What does Psalm say, Natalie?
Psalm says, "May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. But may we shout for joy over your victory and lift up your banners, our banners, in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests."
Okay. This is a cool one right here, right? And I want to give us some thought process here. Like, yes, we get to pray to our Maker, and he listens. He hears our petitions. He hears our prayers. And guess what starts to happen, too, when joy is residing in our hearts? The prayers that we mostly have are for the people that don't know God. And they start to align with the desires that God has for you, God has for your neighbor, God has for your family. And guess what starts happening is that your prayer life becomes less central focused and more other focused. And his desires are already implanted in the prayers that you're giving him. It's an amazing thing. What have you been praying for? Think about that. Natalie, what's next?
When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?"
First off, I like the last part. All right, this is Jesus resurrected, talking to his disciples, the ones that saw him die, the ones that carried his body, put him in a tomb. They doubted that it was him, even when they looked at his hands. They doubted. But while they doubted, they were still filled with joy and amazement. See, we serve a God, even while we doubt God, can fill us with joy. And his faith that he has given us can obliterate our doubt. It is easy to doubt. Doubt that God loves us. Doubt that God would spend time on us, me. It can come to a point that it is so easy to believe the lies more than it is what God has and what God has said. But God is so amazing, so big, so miraculous that he can even jump through doubt and fill us with joy and have a hope that knowing, even while I'm doubting, my faith can grow. And we serve a God who's not vindictive because of our doubt, but is compassionate and even will use our doubt to glorify his name. And what's cool about this, think about this, we don't get to see Jesus the way they got to see Jesus. Do you understand that? Like, they got to see him and they still struggled. They got to see the wounds and even touch the wound and still struggle. And Jesus is sitting there. If it was any of us, we'd be saying, come on, man. I've given everything for you. Why don't you believe in me? And you know what he says? Hey, do you have anything to eat? And you know what that really is? Man, he wants, this is the dinner table to sit down and what? Build relationship. To love and break bread. I don't know about you, but the most sincere moments come at dinner time. With the people that you're sitting down, you just made a meal for somebody. You invested that time in being with them. And you sit down at the table and you look at each other's eye to eye, eating, telling jokes, telling what happened that day. And Jesus, as they doubted, said, all right, what do we have to eat tonight? Let's sit down and talk this. I can't wait to share my heart with you. I can't wait to fill you up with joy even more. He wasn't resentful of them not believing. He was excited to share even a bigger message with them as they sat down and ate. He sent them from that point on. And from that point on, guess what? They all suddenly had an authority of the Holy Spirit, and they were moving for God. And they were going town to town with a message that could have killed them. And what was different from everybody else is that they were filled with joy with this message. You see, church, our people around us need to see the joy oozing out of us in every situation and everything that's going on, even if we're going through trials.
Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds.
James 1:2. Whatever we're facing, whatever issues that we're going through, know that God is going through it with you. And that will fill you with joy. I've said it before, one of the biggest moments of my spiritual walk was sitting in here and hearing a lady stand up and praising God as she was battling cancer and thanking him for allowing her to go through it. You see, she understood that cancer didn't defeat her. She already won with Jesus. And that no matter what, if death were to come, she's already alive with him. People, we need to live this joy out. A world needs the tender touch of joy that God has bestowed upon us. Be the gift of joy this season. As you open up gifts, do that in remembrance of him. Let's pray. Lord, I want to just praise you this morning. We thank you for the gift that you have given us. We thank you for your Son that you sent to change a world, to give us mercy, to give us grace, to be a way of salvation, to show us true love when we don't deserve it, we haven't asked for it, we haven't worked for it. You give it freely. Lord, I pray today that you fill our hearts with joy. May we celebrate you for the rest of this day, for the rest of this week, for the rest of this year. May our hearts change and be filled with joy today. Amen.